Welcome back to Good Food. The Black Republican Cherry. In late June, it makes an appearance at the Santa Monica Farmers Market, where the smaller-than-average fruit has a near fanatic fan base. Its flavor is robust, chocolatey, almost wine-like, and the name, well, that's quite a story. KCRW DJ and culture producer Tyler Boudreau did a deep dive into the Black Republican cherry and uncovered a fascinating history of horticulture, abolition, and the sweet fruit that grew from it all. Her radio story, The Blacker the Cherry, was nominated for a James Beard Award for audio reporting this year. Here's an excerpt.
It's late spring in Santa Monica, and that means it's cherry season at the farmer's market. Whether you like a dark red Brooks or the bright pop of an early Glen, they're all here.
I've been coming to the Santa Monica Farmers Market for at least a couple of decades, and I harass all the farmers every year, where are my cherries, all year long. Even in December, after cherry season's over, I'm ready for some more.
I met Mitchell Krause while waiting in line for the first great week of the season. He's what you might call a cherry aficionado. And he says there's one particular cherry that towers above them all.
I love trying, and I'll get mixed cases and a little bit of every different cherry I can. And the day I found the Black Republicans, I said, okay, this is what a cherry is perfected.
Tell me a little bit about why you love the Black Republican cherries.
I just love how deep their flavor is. They have a great crunch. You know, my hands are sort of blood purple afterwards because the flavor is just so intense and the juice is so intense, but the flavor and the texture together, it's just somebody who eats a couple pounds of cherries a day this time of year, those are by far my favorite.
Of all the unusual names for cherries, few have raised as many questions as the Black Republican, but the story behind that cherry is as rich and complex as the flavor itself. It begins with one family in Iowa and swells to include the Underground Railroad, the Oregon Trail, and the birth of the Pacific fruit industry. For KCRW, I'm Tyler Boudreau, and this is The Blacker the Cherry. I discovered Black Republican cherries in a moment of serendipity that began with a case of the munchies. My father-in-law, Peter Kagan, runs a gourmet shop in Topanga Canyon. And one night when we were at his house, my fiancé, Michael, his brother Benji, and I decided to raid the kitchen fridge. The first thing we saw were these several gallon-sized bags of fresh cherries. We poured each variety into bowls and indulged in them like we were tasting wine. Each one had a fascinating ratio of tart to sweet, and the Rainiers tasted like candy. The Bings had that classic sweet composition. But the standout of the bunch was the deeply rich and intensely complex flavor of the Black Republican. Of course, as a Black woman, that name instantly piqued my interest. I knew that there had to be more to the name than its dark flesh, so I jumped down the rabbit hole to chase the cherries. The story of the Black Republican cherry begins with Henderson Llewellyn. He was the eldest son of a Quaker family who ran a successful nursery in Iowa in the late 1830s. Their stock included 35 varieties of small fruits like apples, pears, peaches, plums, and cherries. Nowadays, his house in Salem has been preserved as the Llewellyn Quaker Museum. It's also a federally recognized landmark, but not because of their fruit trees. The Llewellyn House became famous as a stop on the Underground Railroad.
Salem developed early on a reputation as a place where the runaway slaves were held, and that did not set too well with the slave owners in Missouri.
That's David Hellman, the president of the board for the Llewellyn Quaker Museum.
So Henderson Llewellyn was involved in that. The whole Llewellyn family were activists. But they had some unique qualities. The family was quite remarkable in their adventurism, their creativity, their business acumen, their fascination with grafting trees. And their intense abolitionist bent. They were fire breathers here when it comes to the issue of abolition, when not everyone was. Every farm had to have its own orchard. There were no grocery stores. Early pioneers knew that fruit was critical to the well-being of health and families. If you look at the early maps of the farms in Iowa, every one of them had an orchard. So this was their business. But Henderson Lewelling built his home, fairly substantial for the time. Most homes were log with dirt floors. He built one made of stone cut from a quarry, and he built in that home at least two hiding places that were used in the process of assisting those freedom seekers escaping bondage in Missouri as they made their way north.
In the late 1840s, the Lewellings left Salem and followed the Oregon Trail out west.
In the winter of 1847, he and his neighbors, about 20 people and family, built a large wagon like a giant planter box pulled by six oxen. And they put 700 seedlings, short seedlings, from about 6 inches to 18 inches tall, in this wagon and made their way westward.
The Lewelling wagon train traveled close to 2,000 miles with 700 fruit trees. They eventually settled in Milwaukee, Oregon, just south of Portland. About half of the trees survived and lived to produce many of the fruit varieties we enjoy today on the West Coast. Henderson Lewelling is often called the father of the Pacific fruit industry. In 1853, Henderson left the nursery in the care of his younger brother Seth and headed south to a new community they called Fruitvale, better known today by its modern name, Oakland. Meanwhile, Seth built his brother's nurseries into a cherry empire.
Seth Lewelling was a younger brother of Henderson. He was considered a master grafter. He just was a shrewd and wise man and clever man in grafting.
In Milwaukee, Seth propagated three famous cherry cultivars, the Royal Anne, Our Heroine, the Black Republican, and the combination child of the two cherries, the Bing. Today, the Bing is the most produced variety of sweet cherry in the United States. Like his older brothers, Seth was a staunch abolitionist and an admirer of Abraham Lincoln. He stood against the enslavement of African peoples and the pro-slavery majority in the Democratic Party.
He wanted to make his fellow farmers, their neighbors, just drool over this new cherry that was so good. And they had to, you know, name it and call it Black Republican.
Andy Mariani is the farmer behind Andy's Orchard in the Santa Clara Valley. They're the sole distributors of Black Republican cherries in Southern California.
And the story I had heard was that they even tried to change the name to Lewelling so that it was named after the originator of the variety, but it didn't stick. And I think they even tried another alternative, which was Black Oregon. But the name that did stick was Black Republican. A lot of farmers, agricultural people, orchardists, a lot more conservative. And it's just because they're kind of old-fashioned when they grow something, you know, they want to keep everything the same. As a credit to the Wellings, they had a great perspective from calling the first great cherry Black Republican to the second great cherry being after their Chinese workmen. And, you know, they had the Chinese Exclusion Act, but there before that, a lot of Chinese were working, and they made him their foreman. This guy was really a great worker. And I think they probably, the Lewellings themselves, had a really broad perspective as far as how to get this industry started and all that. But the Lewellings were at the forefront of liberalizing things.
I asked the fruit detective, David Karp, of Andy's Orchards, to tell us why the Black Republican remains in such high demand. He says it all comes down to a concept known as high flavor.
What do you need for high flavor? High sugar, high acidity, and richness or complexity of flavor. The Black Republican has that in spades. People like demand them when they're almost at the raisin state, because at that point, Black Republicans acquire an even more intense flavor, a raisiny, dark, chocolatey flavor. They're also used for ice cream, and because they're so dark, they make a fantastic ice cream. And I know some of our buyers at the Santa Monica market do that. I started writing about it maybe 20 years ago or so, and started just pounding the table and saying, pay attention. This is a winey, dark, chocolatey, intense flavored cherry.
The Slow Food Foundation for Biodiversity recognizes the Black Republican in its arc of taste. Andy Mariani has watched the Black Republican's reputation change in real time.
The biggest problem with it is the small size. And that's probably the reason why it's not a major, more widely grown as, say, the Bing. The Bing is basically an offspring of the Black Republican that's bigger. It has quite a bit of the same flavor as a Black Republican, but not quite as intense. But the problem that kind of condemned the Black Republican for widespread commercial success is the fact that it's relatively small in size. Sometimes we couldn't sell it because we didn't have the market we have now. Well, now it's a variety that has been put on the list of the Arc of Taste, the Slow Food Organization. It has a unique flavor, and now we sell everyone that we can grow.
Although this story traveled near and far with many different flavors, characters, and connections, the singular thread found woven in this fascination with the Llewellyns, their abolitionism, horticulture, and cherries, is that an open mind bears sweet fruit.
That was Tyler Boudreau. We've been listening to her audio essay, The Blacker the Cherry, a story about the pioneers of the Pacific fruit industry and their sweet cherries. But this is just a snippet. To hear the full piece, visit kcrw.com/culture.